Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, page 706 in your pew Bible. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 16, page 832. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Yes, Lord, it is important for us to pray about everything. And now we pray that our ears will hear and our eyes will see. Lord, the world we live in is in trouble, and you've called all of us to do something about it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. What is the sermon title that you see before you there? Let's read it together. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all the nations, and of course it's the Great Commission. But before we get to that today, I want to sort of recap a little bit, make you nervous a little bit, of what I asked you to do 2 weeks ago. I did ask you to read Luke's Gospel because it tells us about the life of Jesus from his birth unto his ascension into heaven. And if we're going to go and make disciples of all nations, we kind of have to know Jesus' life. Also, and I'm not going to ask any questions, I'm trusting you that you did it. Also, I asked you to read Ephesians because Ephesians is about the nature and purpose of the church. And if you did read it, I'm sure there were some scriptures in there you thought, But when we know Jesus, When we deepen our understanding of our Lord in our lives, you understand that these scriptures have far more meaning than just a surface reading of them. It's when we know the whole Bible, they come to life for us. Now, what was last week? Thank you. Did she preach on Pentecost? Oh, goody, goody. What happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came down, fire on their heads, multiple languages, and there was a mighty wind. What would you do right now if that mighty wind were to just swish around this room? We'd probably all think, oh, somebody shut the door. But God wants to do miracles. Look for the miracles. Don't deny them. Don't pretend they don't exist, because you'll lose out. So Pentecost came, so the promise of the Holy Spirit came upon us. So this week there's two things I want us to look at. One, that Jesus said we're to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, how many feel kind of shy and embarrassed if you go to think about telling someone about Jesus? No hands up, but I don't believe you. I don't believe you for a second. But you know what? Today, the second thing we're going to look at is how Paul, who was very arrogant and self-sufficient, turned his life around in Christ. And he shows us how we can become humble and go out there and do what God has asked us to do. First of all, when we look at Matthew's Gospel, it's at the very end of the book, Matthew 28. And I'm always saying to you, when you read a certain selection of Scripture, read what's going on before and after it, because you're going to get a deeper understanding. And for this particular Scripture, before the commissioning of the disciples, if you read it, if you know it, it's all about all of the events that happened before his crucifixion and resurrection. And it even takes us to the report of the guard, where the chief priests at that time paid off the guards so that they would spread the rumor. Oh, how we like rumors, right? Spread the rumor that the disciples had taken the body away at night. And there was no resurrection, but indeed there was. So, sometimes even if people try to lie about the gospel, it never works, because we're still here as the church, and that's an awesome thing. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Right there is a sermon. They listened to Jesus, and they did what they were told. He directed them. God orders our footsteps. Even if we fight him on that, he'll still work on us. But what happens to us when we don't let him totally order our footsteps? We miss out on the miracles. We miss out on the wind. We miss out on the power of the Holy Spirit. When they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Anybody ever doubted in their faith walk? I hear giggles, I see hands. It's okay, because what you need to do is work it through. I'm going to give one of the elders one of these Living Faith books that I talk about a lot. In there, there's a section on doubt, and I'm just going to read a part of it. It says, questioning may be a sign of growth. It may also be disobedience. We must be honest with ourselves. Since we are to love God with our minds as well as our hearts, the working through of doubt is part of our growth in faith. Oh, believe me, I've had my doubt throughout my life. You know, things happen when we think, but God, you know, we work so hard at, well, at least I did, I'm sure you did too. You work so hard at trying to be a good person, right? And help people and care. And sometimes it just comes back to smack us in the face sometimes. The church includes many who struggle with doubt. Jesus accepted the man who prayed, and this is a powerful prayer each one of us can remember and pray. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I liked that when I discovered that. It helped me out a lot. So don't worry about doubting. Just talk to God about it and let him sort it out with you. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So that means the Prime Minister, the President of the United States, the Queen of England, everybody in authority that thinks they're, they are under the authority of Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not, because God is the creator of this universe. And in the end, he will have his say. We are under that authority too because we have things we do socially or in the church in authority or in our families, at the workplace. We come under the authority of Jesus Christ as well. And then he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Another reason why we need to know the Bible inside and out, because how can we help someone else understand the life of Christ if we don't know it? And it's not so much about trying to be obedient. It's about being obedient. It's about loving God so much and Jesus and the Holy Spirit that we just want to do his will in our lives. He's got a plan for each of our lives every day. Every day. So nobody can get up and say, oh, poor me. Poor me. I got nothing to do today. Nobody's going to call me. I'm just going to sit here again. No, not so. Get up and look in the Word. Study it and see what it is that God has for you to do. I'll share a little story with you. I wasn't sure if God was going to have me do it or not, but I have a distant relative, sounds complicated, but who had a problem and connected with me because I am a minister and thought maybe I could resolve some things for them. But because I'm a minister, I'm also under a confidentiality situation as well. So what I did was I went to call another cousin. And when I went to call that cousin, I dialed one number wrong. Now, I say it was wrong, but listen. When that person answered, I thought it was my cousin's wife. And she just acted like she didn't know who I was. So I finally said my name. And then she said, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. But I'm so glad you called. You have such a nice voice. I am a police officer, and I've had a terrible day. And I could say, well, I'm a minister. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, no. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you now on the phone? And she said, okay. And through a lot of joyful laughter, we prayed together. And at the end of it, she said, well, maybe there is a higher power. Now, I wanted to really talk. But the Holy Spirit said, that's enough for now. But I've got that person's telephone number. I'm going to leave it for a while and just see if God will have me call her back. But the point is, do you see how simple it can be for us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations? This was somebody up north. So it's very interesting because this issue in the family started way back when, and God ordered my footsteps all the way through the years till that day I dialed one number wrong to meet with that minister or with that police officer on the phone. She was so open with me, it had to be the Holy Spirit. Police officers don't tell you much on the telephone, but somehow she felt moved to. And you see, God prepared me and prepared her, and he prepares all of you here. Someday you might dial one number wrong. And what are you going to do? Oh, sorry, clunk. Or are you going to listen and wait and see how God can use us? And he says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And he leaves them with saying, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, Jesus is here right now. And if you turn, if you want to follow along, I'm in Philippians now, the reading that was read earlier. And this is Paul. Remember, he started out arrogant and quite self-sufficient. Hey, look at me. Look at all of I've accomplished. And he listed it there, and you heard it earlier. I don't have to list it again. He was a perfectionist, and he wanted everybody to know it. However, listen to the rest of it. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. I understand what he means. Think of the things you've done in your lives that you've spent hours doing because you wanted to be noticed. I've done the same in my early years. We're no different. We wanted to be noticed. But Paul is saying now, all of that was for naught because it had nothing to do with what Jesus Christ had planned for him or for us. And we often do that. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. A surpassing value. Think of the thing that you value the most in your life besides Jesus. Put him aside for a second. What's that thing that you value so much? I knew that was coming. Family. And that's great. But you know who's got to come before family? God. Yeah. Sometimes our family will even turn on us when we believe in the risen Christ so deeply and being so committed. But that's okay. Because we're not here to please people. We're here to please God. So we got to let go and let God. It's a whole new way of life. I've said that before too. I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. And how many will even look at that scripture where we are to become like him in his death? Do you know what that means? That means we've got to die to all the pride, self-centeredness, greed, all of that stuff has got to go. Let it go and be filled with that Holy Spirit that you heard of last week. And that's what will guide and lead us. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have handled that phone call very well. I wouldn't have known how. I probably would have felt like an idiot because I made the wrong number. But I didn't feel that way at all. It was God, so God-ordained, I couldn't believe it. And you will have those experiences. You have had those experiences. Don't run away from them. Sit in it. Let the other person talk for a minute. Don't be afraid that you're not going to be able to answer the questions they may have. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And lastly, he says, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. See, that's part of our difficulty. We hold on to grudges. We hold on to whatever anybody said about us or did to us. You got to let that stuff go. Let God be our vindicator. I've done it recently, and it's awesome when we can take our hands off and let him be our vindicator. while he's doing that, we're off making disciples and trusting him and believing in him, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the Bible even teaches us, don't store up things of this world that will rot or can be stolen, but store up the things of heavenly value. That's mercy and grace and love and peace. How many want peace in their lives? The older I get, please, God, please, I want peace in my life. And I find every way I can to keep that peace. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this is good for the church. This too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. So if you look back at your bulletin there for a moment, you'll see that sermon title again. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's the kind of the easy part, to know that we are called to do that. But the other part is what Paul has taught us today. To let go of everything that we thought was so important. Just let it go. And if you're meant to have it back, believe me, God will give it back. I've given him my home, my car, my everything. Yes, if he took it all, yes, I'll admit to you, I'd probably cry. But I would get over it, because there would be a purpose. And whatever he's got in mind for us all is better than anything we could even dream of. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You teach us so much. We thank you that we don't have to do it on our own, as we saw last Sunday. The day of Pentecost, they were all devoted to prayer and caring for one another. And I pray that for this church, Lord, in every church that lifts up the name of Jesus. We want so much to serve you. We need your grace, more and more grace. We need your supernatural favor when we're on the phone, walking down the street, in the shops, on holiday, working, wherever we are. Lord, help us always to be aware that that's an opportunity to make a disciple, to build your kingdom come, that we pray every week, if not every day. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Lord God, we pray for those in authority all over the world, that they will realize that Jesus is in authority over heaven and earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you for everything that you've taught us today. We pray for those who aren't feeling well, for those, O God, who might be waiting on surgery. Bless them, strengthen them. Bless the Strawberry Festival and those who are organizing it, Lord. Again, may they all see the eyes of Jesus when they stop to talk to the people, that they might even be encouraged to come to church and to serve you and to live a life for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing the first three verses.